Well, thank you, Sister Alicia. That's a great message and song. Sometimes we get our pity directed at something much less. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. Good to have Dr. B.J. Stagner with us this morning. I introduce a lot of preachers, and I get introduced sometime as Dr. Carter, and I realize I wouldn't make a good practical nurse, much less a doctor. But I'm really introducing to you a doctor this morning, Dr. B.J. Stagner. Brother Stagner got his degrees, University of Chicago. I don't even know if I can pronounce all that he is, but he had a medical, a physician practice, and he's been with us before. Many of you remember that. And I don't know where he sold it, give it up, or closed the doors or what, but he's a missionary now in London, preaching the gospel, and got one church going good and expecting to get another one going soon. We're just so proud of him that he represents us. Somebody asked me not long ago about our mission work, and I said we have a lot of missionaries, and we do. And we are certainly thankful for Brother Stagner. He's done a great job, and I'm sure he hadn't forgotten how to mend bodies. Some of you have actually had a little bit of free help from him. In fact, I've got a kink in my neck right here, Brother Stagner. I'm joking around with him a little bit, but he knows what he's doing now. He's representing the great physician, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Stagner, I'm glad you're with us. Come on, bring the message, please, this morning.
Well, it is a blessing to be here in Haines City. It's a blessing to be at Landmark Baptist Church. I do want to say this. I'll give you a little update on the ministry, and then we'll get into the Word of God this morning. But I do want to say that Landmark was my first church when I went on full-time deputation in January of 2013, and it was a blessing to be here. I was able to preach on the Sunday morning and teach in the college and preach the chapel that week, and then preach on a Wednesday night. Spent the week here with all you good folks. It was a tender blessing to me. Dr. Carter has always been a special person in my life. He's been a mentor of mine for years on end when I pastored in Nashville, and would come down and visit, preach for you guys, and preach chapel, and continues to be a mentor of mine now as we're across the pond in the nation of Wales. Amen. As said, we planted one church already down in the valleys of Wales. We are located in a town or a village, if you will, called Aberaman, and it's in the village of or in the valley of the Kinnon Valley is what it's called. We landed on November 4th, 2014. Had our first service on November 5th, 2014, which was a Wednesday night. Had our first Sunday morning service on November 9th, and pretty much hit the ground running. Started a youth program about 2 weeks later. Meets on Friday night. We run around 21 youth now on the Friday evening services. Have a Wednesday morning Bible study there. We have a Wednesday morning service where several from the community come and attend. There's not only just our people, a few of ours, but we have visiting pastors from other churches that come in and visit with us on Wednesday morning. That's a blessing. I finally finished the book of Acts from the day I got started, 2 weeks before we came back over here a few weeks ago, amen, and which was a miracle for me. The first time I taught on the life of Paul, it took me 5 years, 2 months, and 8 days, amen. So to do it under 2 years, I was pretty happy about that, amen. And we have a regular Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study as well. And Friday mornings, we have what's called a food co-op where we work with a local council. That's opened up the door for us to get into the primary school as well as to the comp, which is a bigger school in the area. And as of late, the police department want us to start working with them with some of their troubled youth. Amen. And so it's been a blessing. God has opened up doors like you would not imagine in ways that I can assure you I could not open. Amen. If I would have tried to open half the doors that God is open for us, I would have had made a mess. Amen. So I'm thankful today. God's hands in the ministry. As mentioned already, we are opening or starting a new church. It's going to be called Saron South. The name of our church is Saron Chapel Independent Baptist Church in Aberaman. We're going to start a satellite work, second church plant about 20 miles south of our current location called Saron South, and that'll be in a little area called Glenaclin. And I probably did not pronounce that correctly, but I'll get to that in just a moment. And so you pray for that, if you will. On the 11th of September this year, we're looking to kick off that work. Now, a lot of that work came out of many of the contacts that we've made in the North Cardiff area, which is a great, you know, pretty good ways away from our current location. The Lord's opened up doors down in Cardiff. We belong to a gym there, and I've made some dear, dear friends through the gym. Matter of fact, I believe a few of them may be watching today all the way across the pond. If we're live streaming this morning, then they're there, so we want to tell them a good Welsh hallelujah and hello, amen. Speaking of which, Brother Matt, I've texted him before from overseas when he's on the radio, unless it's a recording of him, and I say, man, I like that song. Hey, praise the Lord for that update. Oh, that's wonderful. And about the third or fourth text one time, I get a text back that says, who is this? You know? I'm not thinking that the number's completely jumbled from what we're used to seeing here, you know, with an area. It's a 4407531 and just these long numbers. And he finally says, you know, that's great. Amen. You know, he was trying to be tenderhearted. And then finally, it's like, well, who is this? I said, oh, this is Brother BJ. He's like, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Brother Matt goes on visitation because I know he's a good man of God. Amen. Now, we had good visitors today. We had several here. Now, I'm going to vote and nominate Brother Matt to visit a special family that's visiting today. Amen. So when he pulls their name out of the hat, don't you let them off. Amen. A friend of mine that I've met from the gym, born again believer in Christ by the name of Davith Phillips. Him and his family is here. His wife's Kelly and his two sons is Jacob and Josh. They're about midway down over here. Davith, you'll give a big wave there. They are from Wales themselves, from the Rhondda Valley, from a little village called Porth. And they're here with us today all the way from Wales. They didn't come with us. They're here on holiday and they took time out today to be in the house of God on Sunday. What a blessing that is. So Matt has to go see them on Thursday night visitation all the way over. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just kidding, brother. Praise God. Open your Bibles up, if you will, this morning to the book of Ephesians. It is a dear honor to be here. I want to thank everyone for your prayer and your support for my family and the ministry of Church Planting of the United Kingdom. God has been a tremendous blessing to us. I can't even begin to tell you how happy I am and how much I enjoy the ministry. The Lord is just great and wonderful. We have seen 28 souls saved just in the past year. Didn't see anything, any souls saved the first probably nine months, I would say. Then all of a sudden, our neighbor to the church, whose house is actually attached to the church building, she got saved, and from that point forward, souls begin to come to Christ, and through visitation, through the youth program, through working with the council, and this daughter-in-law here, and this grandchild there, and it really is amazing what the Lord will do. If you just get out there and get busy for him, amen. Listen, you know, we act like sometimes that he doesn't want to save people, amen. Now, I don't know where we came up with that idea because that's not in the Word of God. He wants to save people, amen. We say missions is the heartbeat of God, but it's in our hands. Well, it's also in our legs, amen. We got to get out and we got to get the work done and bring the gospel to the lost and dying world. Ephesians in chapter 2, if you're there this morning, let me hear you with a good amen. And I want to bring a short message to you today, which by interpretation, means I don't know when it's going to stop, and I'm just kidding a little bit. Just relax. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, and we're going to begin in verse 11. This is what the Bible says. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, before I read the last verse, I want to say this. Dr. Carter was spot on this morning in the Sunday school. And if you wasn't in here, you need to get that, I guess it's CDs now. I was going to say tape or MP3 or whatever you can get it. You need to listen to it because the things that he dealt with is a true statement, especially dealing with some of the things of the kingdom that he spoke of today. We're living in a world today. All of the problems that we see today, we understand, comes from sin. But 99.9% of those things are coming from just a misinterpretation or misappropriation of the Word of God. Amen. Got to be on the right side of Israel. If you're not on the right side of Israel, you're on the wrong side of God. Amen. Now, this is what the Bible says, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, watch this, by the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit. I thank you for this church, Father. I thank you for their support, their prayers. I thank you for their representation that they have been for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the precious word of God throughout all of these years. I thank you for the stance and the liberty and the battles that have been won, Father, through the mighty work that you have established here in Haines City. Pray that you continue the longevity of this work in a mighty way, Father, that the name of Christ would be exalted until the Lord comes back and calls us home. Father, I ask you to bless us today. Meet with us, Lord, as your word is being preached. I pray that you remove me out of the way. And dear God, I pray that my heart and my mind will be focused on the word of God. But I pray most importantly this morning, outside of anything of my desires, my heart is focused today on the fact that if there be one here this morning unsure of eternal life, if there be one soul here this morning unknowingly of where they would go if they died today, I pray, Father, that you'd let them get that right with you, that they would call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come before the precious throne of grace and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and ask forgiveness of sins, dear Lord, that you would seal them unto the day of redemption from this moment forward. We ask all of these things in the precious name of our Savior and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning on a topic that is near and dear to my heart, but I want to start by way of introduction to bring some thoughts to you. Now, I understand it's church and we got to be spiritual, and I'm going to do my best to stand behind the pulpit here. I'm tethered a little bit, but that's okay. I'll try to get a little bit loud with you if I have to step to the side. But we are about 39 days away from American football starting. I have to say American football. I'm in the habit of that now because football over there is soccer, and I don't understand soccer. Nor do I like it. I'm sorry if you like it, but nevertheless, I'm an old ball player, and that's where my heart was when I was playing sports. But we're about 39 days away from football starting here in the States, and I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I trust that many of you probably are too. Now, I've probably lost most of the congregation now because they said, oh, he's just carnal. Well, just stick with me just a little bit. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. I want to give you just a little personal thought on myself. Personally, now this is personally what I'm speaking of this morning. I like being a winner. Amen? Amen? I like being a winner. You like being a winner out there today. I like being a winner myself. Now, let me go ahead and say this. If anyone ever tells you that winning is not important, or for that matter, winning is not everything. Amen? When they tell you that, you can mark it down and bet your bottom dollar that they haven't won many battles in their life. Amen? I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, these are the ones that were picked last in the Sandlot games. Amen? These are the ones that chose your sister before they chose the brother. And you know, it's one of the problems that we have today is 30 years ago, parents stopped disciplining children. They stopped keeping score in sports, and everybody got a blue ribbon, and everybody got a trophy for, here we are, participating. Amen? Yeah. That's one of the reasons we have a generation of millennials today where 32.6 of them are still living in their parents' basement playing video games all day long. Amen, amen. Amen. Bear Bryant said that if winning isn't important, why do they keep score? Hallelujah, amen. No one ever woke up in the morning. Now, I'm going to promise you this today. No one ever woke up in the morning, rolled out of the bed and said, boy, I can't wait to lose today. That's right. No one ever did that. You say, wait a second, preacher, maybe I... No, you didn't. Amen. It's not... Did you know it's not ingrained in mankind to desire to lose? Right. Accepting defeat in anything, it doesn't matter if it's... I don't like losing tic-tac-toe. Amen. People say, oh, preacher, are you a sore loser? Hey, I'd rather be a sore loser than an unhappy winner. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm so glad I lost. Nobody is like that. Amen. But accepting defeat is a learned trait that we do today.
Right.
It's a learned trait.
Yeah.
At the end of 2015, at the completion of 2015, the University of Alabama had a recorded 864 official victories. Now, Alabama's seen many national championships over the past decade. Florida State has seen one. Ohio State, I think, had one. I don't know. Amen. Florida's still trying. That ship done sailed in Miami a long time ago. Amen. Now that I got your attention. You know, Bear Bryant hated losing so much that when it even came to a tie, Bear Bryant said, a tie is like kissing your sister. It just shouldn't happen. Amen. But Coach Bryant said this. He said, if you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride and never quit, and there's the key part, never quit, He said, you'll be a winner. He went on to say that the price of victory is high. He said, but so are the rewards. And beloved, all of that is true, and that's fun to speak about sports. I mean, I'm looking forward to ball season. I love victory, love Bear Bryant, as you can't tell. I'm an Alabama fan, Roll Tide. But you know, in all seriousness this morning, it sure seems as if the human race is far from winning today. It just seems like mankind is continually in a state of loss this morning. I look around and I observe as we've traveled about 9 hours on Friday, I think it was, and about 9 hours a couple weeks ago, and we're traveling here and there, and we've only been in the States for a couple weeks. We'll be here for one more week as I preach the camp for Brother Jay starting tonight, and then we head back across the pond, looking forward to getting back home and continue working in the ministry. But as I travel around the United States, as we have, or the South, I should say, it seems like our flags are just in a perpetual state of half-mast. I mean, beloved, we're living in a world today where law enforcement officers, by the way, watch this, whose job it is, now this is, as Pastor would say, deep science, whose job it is to enforce the law. Okay? We're living in a world today where they're being killed because of the job they hold. And I cannot understand. Look, I don't like getting a ticket any more than anybody else does, okay? But I got news for you. The officer that pulls you over because he shot you with his radar doing 60 miles over the speed limit, he didn't make you speed. Amen. So I can't understand why we get upset with the officer for doing his job. That is the equivalent of getting angry with the girl at McDonald's for giving you the food that you ordered. Amen. To make any sense to me. Cities today are living in terror. Countries are riddled with fear. And it seems like every other day we turn the telly on and we turn the news on and there's another bombing, another stabbing, another shooting. Something gone wrong in the world. Families are being destroyed. Lives are being changed. Children are being lost. I mean, things are happening in this world today that is altering the structure of mankind forever. It's one tragedy after another. It's one death after another, one disease after another, one deception after another. Beloved, it just seems like every time we turn around, just simply people are just getting hurt. And it's so much the so, guys, that it's almost enough to make a person enter into a state of despair. I understand the Bible says that perilous times shall come. And beloved, those times are here. Part of them are here at least, amen. But can I say this to you this morning, that wicked things went on in the days of the life of Paul? Amen. Wicked things went on in the days of Polycarp. Wicked things went on in the days of the Waldensians. Wicked things went on in the days of the Paulicians. My soul, wicked things went on in the days of Whitfield and Talmadge and Spurgeon and Moody and Norris and Sam Jones. Listen, wickedness was in the world then just as it is in today. They haven't changed all that much. We just know more about them. Right. Beloved, just because wickedness is happening in the world doesn't mean that you and I this morning need to wave the white flag, stick our hand in the sand, and go into the fetal position and quit. Right. Come on. I'm going to tell you this today, my friend. The same way salvation came in the days of all of these men before us is the same way eternal salvation occurs today. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I can tell you this for myself this morning, for me personally, I'm on the winning side. And bless God, I'm going to live like I'm on the winning side. Amen. I'm not going to live and walk around like I'm on the losing side of everything. Yes, our world is filled with trouble. And we see the news filled with tragedies. Absolutely, we live in the days of where fear seems to be conquering everyone's heart. But, beloved, the same way of salvation in the days of Paul is the same way of the salvations in the day of you today. And I'm telling you, there's one way, one solution, one source, one saving grace. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not Gandhi. Bless God, it's not me. It's not you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Beloved, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only power in all of creation. It's the only entity that can bring any source of unity to mankind this morning. Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi saying this, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." By the way, those that are cursed in the name of Jesus Christ today, one day they're going to bow anyway. Amen. Every knee shall. I believe the Bible. I believe every word that's in it. Listen, if the Bible told me that the sun was going to turn purple on the 12th year, the 12th day, and the 12th month, guess what? I'm going to believe that the world, that the sun's going to turn purple in that time. Amen. He goes on to say that every knee shall bow of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus saying, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Beloved, if you are in Christ today, you are as good as being in heavenly places as you will be on the day that you die from this earth. He says, "And hath put all things under his feet." He says, "And gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Well, what am I trying to say this morning? What am I trying to encourage and bring to your thoughts and to your mind this morning? Can I say this to you today, that we are not going to have an effect on this world? We're not going to have an effect on the trouble or the tragedies or the depression in this world today through diplomacy at all. We're not going to have that effect. We're not going to have an effect. Listen, we're not going to have an effect on the world. We can fight all the wars we want. And mind you, there are times when physical warfare is needed. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "What would you do if somebody came into your house to try to harm your family?" I said, "It's not a question of what I would do. It's more of a question of what I would not do." Amen. I will protect my family, and I believe in, we should protect our countries, bless God. I believe we'll protect our church. Amen. When I pastored in Nashville, my soul, somebody said, "Are you worried about somebody coming in and shooting your people up?" I said, "No, I'm more worried about the people in our own pews who have guns trying to shoot that person and killing everybody else." Amen. But got the same thing around here, I imagine. Amen. Beloved, the problem is in this world today, there's a battle, but this battle is not won through the bloodshed of our sons and daughters. The war has already been won by the shed blood of the Lamb. Yeah. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The war is won, but the battles need to be fought with the same arsenal that the war was fought with, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual battle that we're in today. We look at the news and we get so physically upset and we get so physically depressed and we get into a place of despair, and we almost go back to that point where we used to be without hope.
Yeah.
But beloved, you're not there anymore. I mean, I see people walk around today, they name the name of Christ, and they look like their favorite cat got ran over and somebody kicked the dog on the way out the house. Amen. Man, I'm on the winning side, amen?
Yes, sir.
I'm on the winning side, and I'll be honest with you, I'm quite happy to be on the winning side.
Amen.
Beloved, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command, and therefore they separated themselves from the relationship with God. But in order to redeem all of humanity, God planned a purpose to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, who will one day bruise the head of the serpent. Now, I like the fact that, you know, literally speaking, we know it's going to happen at the second advent of the Lord, but I like the fact that on that cross of Calvary, when my Savior hung on that cross and those heels rested on that perch so that he could push up and take a breath, those heels were bruised, and he paid that price of sin for mankind that day, thus bruising his heels on what Satan had brought in, death, into this world.
Yes.
Jesus Christ came to this earth in God's perfect timing. I want you to think about that for a second. There's not a Calvinist bone in my body, and if you are a Calvinist today, I'm sorry, but nevertheless, there's not one drop of Calvinism in me. I'm going to tell you now that God sent the beloved Son into this world to pay the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us at his perfect timing. He left the right hand of the Father. He took off the robes of royalty. He wrapped on the robes of flesh. He became mankind just as us. And the fullness of times at God's appointed time, he sent his Son down here. And when the world's condition favored his appearing the most, at the perfect moment, Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a young girl whose name is Mary. She traveled 80 miles from Nazareth all the way down to Galilee to a city of Bethlehem just to be born in the stable, because that's what the prophets had dictated would happen. The timing of him being born into this world was perfect. When Alexander the Great and his father, Philip of Macedon, ruled the earth prior to being defeated by Rome, they saturated the world with the Greek language to where the majority of the earth spoke a single language, even other dialects as well. Rome conquered Greece, and when they took over the world under the Roman occupation, they continued to build roads throughout the known world. Matter of fact, many of the same roads that we drive on in the UK today were originally cut into the ground by the Roman occupation. He did that so that Christ, when he came, would die on that cross, pay that debt, and that word would have access into all of the world. The Apostle Paul said, I must needs see Rome. Why did he need to see Rome? Because all roads led to Rome. And if all roads led to Rome, guess what? All roads led from Rome. He can get the gospel there. He can get the gospel into all the world. Beloved, what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that isn't it common sense today to know that if the world is in a mess and there's problems going into the world today, that the answer is not what we've been trying to do for the past 1,000 years. Is it the answer this morning, the same thing that won the war? And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you this, and we'll get into three quick points and we'll be done. But back in the days of the Apostle Paul, synagogues were established in all of these different cities. Through most of the cities, they were there. Synagogues became a place where both Jew and Gentile would meet. They would come and they would hear the word of God being read. And what would happen is the Jewish men would sit on one side of the synagogue and the Gentile men would sit on another side, and the ladies would sit up in a second floor, what we would refer to as a balcony. Now, beloved, in the Old Testament, salvation was just unto the Jew. Israel was unto one nation. It was unto the nation of Israel. There were proselytes that proselytized. We understand that Ruth was a Moabitess, and she proselytized and came into the nation of Israel. Says, thy God will be my God, and that she was going to serve the Lord. We understand all that. She's found in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't go after her. Amen. So having said that, what the result was in these synagogues, because Gentiles were looked at as dogs, is that there was a structure, a divider, if you will, that was built down the center of these synagogues, where the Jews men on one side and the Gentile men on the other side, and there was a wall built in the middle. So what we need to understand is that there was a time when they were separated both between Jew and Gentile, but when Jesus Christ came, he changed all that. Yes. You see, those that were one time, watch this, afar off and had no hope in this world, we're now made nigh unto God. The first thing that Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross of Calvary and yet rose again was he broke down, number one, he broke down that middle wall. He broke down that partition. Look in verse 14 of our text here this morning. The Bible says, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Beloved, the mystery of the church was revealed unto the Apostle Paul. And that mystery wasn't that there was just a church there. We understand there's a prophetical gap. The mountain peaks of prophecy was not seen by the Old Testament prophets. But even Peter and John and James and all of them, they didn't see what the Gentiles were going to be inside the church. It was given unto Paul when he went into Arabia for roughly 40 days in between Acts chapter 9, verse 20 and 22. Amen. So when he went over there, God revealed unto him what he was going to make that church, and it was going to be a mixture of both Jew and Gentile. Amen. Hey, that both Jew and Gentile was going to be come under one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Beloved, both Jew and Gentile is saved by one sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. This means, my friend, that salvation when Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again was now made available unto all. Hallelujah. Amen. The breaking down of this partition brought to us it brought to us peace into the lives of those who have called upon the name of Christ. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of a simple message. You better believe it's simple, amen? Yes. One of the problems we have today is the devil is not corrupting the ease of salvation. I don't believe salvation was easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ to crawl upon the cross of Calvary, amen? But it is simple. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Verse 14, look again there with me. The Bible says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself, watch this, of twain, one new man, so making peace. Both the body and the bride, eternal and temporal, the Lord has given us in our churches this blessed part of peace in our lives when you have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look around the world today. Races are fighting. Religions are fighting. Nations are fighting. Why are they fighting? We can politicize it all we want. But at the end of the day, they're fighting because of one thing. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings peace into your life. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna say this to you this morning. I'm quite happy this morning that when I woke up, I didn't have to worry about what I did last night. Amen? When I woke up this morning, I didn't have to worry about what may have happened yesterday. When I woke up yesterday morning, I didn't have to worry about what happened Friday night. Amen? There's peace in my life, peace in my heart. And guys, listen, if I get on a plane next week and that plane drops out of the sky and nosedives into the Atlantic, I don't have to worry about where I go, amen? There's peace in my heart. I know that if I breathe my last breath on this earth, when my chin hits this chest, the next time my eyes open and my chin comes up, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, amen. And I'll see him for all eternity, hallelujah. That's called peace, my friend. All these troubles, all the problems that we're dealing with because there's no peace in people's life because there's no Jesus Christ in their life. So, beloved, I'm saying this lastly this morning that partition was removed so peace can come in. And by the way, government's not going to bring peace. Amen? Grants are not going to bring peace. Money's not going to bring peace. Amen? What's going to bring peace is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. When that partition came down, peace came in, but it did so allowing souls to be put into their place.
Yes.
Look in verse 16, and I pray that you catch this with me. Verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were not that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, amen, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Beloved, this body, the body of Christ, this bride, if you will, this local church in the temporal state and the eternal church in the future state, the Lord Jesus Christ has given it unto us. He's given it unto us according to his will that would please him. I'll give you a news flash just real quick. Breaking news. Now, if you ever watch Fox News, about 5 o'clock in the morning, it says breaking news. The same thing says breaking news at 3 p.m. It's no longer breaking. They just say breaking news, and it's the same thing. This right here is breaking news. This is, again, deep science, amen. 2016 did not catch God off guard. When 2016 rolled around, he didn't say, oh, my soul, what happened? Where did those ISIS people come from? When 2016 rolled around, he says, what in the world was I thinking when I put Obama up there? Amen? Well, he's thinking that according to Romans chapter 1. That's just a judgment, amen? Listen, God already knew the tragedy that would take place in this world. He knew the people that would hurt you. He knew the people that would hurt me. He knew all the things that are going to happen for him. Listen, you know what we need to stop doing in our world today? And take this, please. Take this right this morning, if you will. We need to stop complaining about the culture that we are living in. It's difficult everywhere. Building a church is difficult in the United Kingdom. It's difficult in the United States. Everywhere it is. But do you know what we do when we curse the culture we live in? We condemn the community to an eternal hell. God knew where you would be living, my friend. He knew when you would be living, amen? And he didn't change his mind and say, well, let me stick him back in the 40s, you know. Let me stick him back, as we say, the good old days. Yeah. I don't know how good it was, amen? I personally like indoor plumbing, amen? Despite Carrie, I like having a refrigerator, don't you, amen? Found out yesterday that our refrigerators and air conditioners are wicked as ISIS is. They're, you know, because the refrigerator's around the corner trying to shoot you. Amen. And when you go home today and you turn the air conditioner on in this million degree weather, you know your thermostat's going to whack your arm off. Come on, man. I mean, Brother Shirley said one time the world's become so open-minded the brains fell out, and I believe that. Amen. Paul was a chosen vessel for his day, and I want to wrap this thing up. just like you are this morning. The Lord knew when you were going to be saved. He knew what culture we'd live in. Each and every age, each and every time was given the examples that we needed to get through that moment and that place. And every soul that is in here this morning that is saved and born again to the blood of Christ, you have a responsibility. You have a neighbor, a cousin, an aunt, a mom, a dad, someone that's not lost to be a witness unto them. And God has chosen you to be that witness unto them. Amen. We look through the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We see these different characters that stood up for faith. Abel had a defining faith. He was obedient in bringing the proper sacrifice. Enoch had a diligent faith, we see. He was being a man who walked with God and became a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Noah had a determined faith who, even though the imagination of the entire world was continually evil, he kept his generations pure. Amen. Abraham had a disciplined faith who, against hope, believed in hope. Jacob, a depending faith, who finally, who was a shyster all his life, confessed unto the Lord and was converted unto God. Gideon's defending faith took 300 men. This farmer turned general in the military. He took 300 men and conquered by the hand of God all of these different battles. But Joseph, this young guy, picture of Jesus Christ, 13 years sold into slavery, held into bondage as a household slave, incarcerated for a crime that he did not do. Guys, he was the well-favored son of Jacob. Finally, at the age of 30, having never lost his faith, never lost his belief, avoided living in the realm of despair, he removed himself from walking down the path of depression. He was knocked down. He stood back up. His legs were cut off from underneath him, but he did not stay down. He got up and stood up, and Joseph had a determined faith in his life to continue believing and what God had promised him that he would fulfill. So I'm going to ask you this morning. In your heart this morning, has that wall been torn down that is keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? See, he took it down on the cross of Calvary. But we have a tendency to build it back up. We have a tendency to stand in our salvation and say that person doesn't deserve it. But may I say this to you today, every soul on the planet doesn't deserve it, but they can receive it right here, right now. Maybe you're here this morning and all of this is news to you. Maybe you're here this morning saying, what's he going on about this sacrificial gift? Can I just tell you that Jesus Christ died for you, and if you were the only person on the face of the planet that needed that salvation, he would have went through everything that he did. He would have experienced the scourging, whereas most men die because of that, as that flesh was ripped off of his back to pay the price in his stripes, we are healed. He had had the crown of thorns plaited. His garments would have been removed and cast for lots. He'd have been nailed upon that cross, and he would have given up the ghost in the same manner, identical, if it yet wasn't for one single soul that needed it. It's because God loves you today. I like the signs I see over in the village. I got a picture of one that says, God really loves you. And I want to tell you this morning that God does love each and every one of us. Now, if you're saved here today and you know what I'm talking about, you're saved because of faith. Yes. Now, I don't know what kind of faith you have, but all you needed is a faith to trust in Jesus Christ in order to be saved this morning. Right. Beloved, God didn't wake up one day and say, what did Johnny do down there? He just called him a name and got saved. Well, I better get a work. He's got a work designed for you already. He's got a sphere of influence that each and every one of you live in. And it is your responsibility to be that witness to that lost and dying world today. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Just a few moments here, and we'll turn it over to Pastor. With every head's bowed and every eyes closed, I hope and pray that you heard what we're saying today. Yes, there's tragedy in the world. There's problems in the world, and those problems are there. They're there because the world and people today need the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Preacher, I testify this morning that if I died, I am not completely sure of my eternal destination. If that's you this morning, if you just be willing to testify between me, you, and God, I won't come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. I promise you. But if you're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure where my eternal destination would be today if I died, will you pray for me? Just signify with the uplifted hand between me, you, and God this morning. Just put your hand up. Put it back down. I just want to pray for you. Put your hand up. Amen. I saw your hand up top. Anyone this morning? Amen. I see your hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else this morning? You say, Preacher, I'm not sure of my eternal destination right now. Would you put your hand up? I want to pray for you. You put your hand up, put it back down. Anyone else this morning? You hear this morning, you say, Preacher, I heard everything that you said, and I am saved, but I want you to pray for me Pray for me that I'll be a greater witness to the lost and dying. If that's you this morning, the Lord's spoken to your heart, just put your hand up this morning and testify. Amen. Hands all over. Praise God for that. You're here this morning as we go to this prayer, and you're unsure of your eternal destination or where you would go. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today, because you know what? The Lord may be speaking to you now, but he doesn't have to speak to you again. Father in heaven, we commit now to you this time of invitation. We ask you, Lord God, to handle it in the manner that you see fit. I pray that you give Brother Carter witness, wisdom, dear God, and how to handle these things. I pray for those that have raised their hand, those that are unsure of eternal destination. Father, I pray that you'd speak to their heart this morning, that they may come and make a decision to freely receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A simple acceptance that Jesus is God, that he died for their sin, yet rose again, and ask forgiveness of their sins, that they may know they have eternal life this morning. For those, dear God, the many that raised their hand, saved and born again, Father, who just feel like they need to be a greater light and a greater witness in their area, Lord, encourage them, open up doors, give them opportunities, my Lord, my Savior, to be used in this world today. Father, we thank you for the time that we're living in. We thank you most importantly for the eternal Word of God. We ask you now to please give us that light, that encouragement, Lord, to move forward.